You're listening to What Makes Us Stronger, a series of stories about people's resilience at times of crisis. I'm Nisha Singh. Just a warning that this episode contains some descriptions of violence and sexual violence. 30 years ago in Rwanda, neighbor turned on neighbor, family turned on family, as the Hutu-controlled government encouraged the slaughter of the minority Tutsi group in a frenzy of violence that lasted 100 days and changed the country forever. But after the government was forced out, the killings in the country stopped, and new leaders began to take steps towards justice and even reconciliation. Ordinary Rwandans were asked to do something extraordinary, to forgive the very people who killed their families, their friends, and their neighbors. This is Emerence's story. Kakuze Marie Emerence, or Emerence for short, was born in western Rwanda by Lake Kivu. She grew up knowing all about the animosity between the Hutus and Tutsis in her community. Years of colonial rule in the country had made the two groups suspicious of one another. The Tutsi minority were given power and titles by German, then Belgian rulers, and the Hutu majority resented it.
Papa akiriho akatubwira uburyo bamujyanye mu ruvumbu rw'inzuki.
Emerence's father, a Tutsi, would tell the story of how, back in the 1950s, he'd been captured by some local Hutus and trapped inside a beehive. He was rescued, but narrowly escaped with his life. Decades later, after the country gained independence, a Hutu majority government took control. Then, in the 1990s, months of hate-filled propaganda filled the airwaves until the government and armed militia began a deliberate campaign of violence that swept across the whole country. At the time, Emerence was in her late teens, studying away from home.
I had an internship in the district of Nyamyumba. Unfortunately, at my college, a young lady told the militia that I was a Tutsi. They attacked me and they cut my right arm with a machete and hit my elbow with a hammer.
Badly injured, Emerence survived, but many of her family were not so fortunate.
My family was exterminated on 9th April, 1994. At 3 p.m., the militia came to our home. They burned everything and killed my dad. They killed a huge number of people. Women, men, as well as kids were killed. They even threw people alive into pits and buried them. In my family, they killed my father and his brothers, and they killed my elder sister with her kids and buried them in one communal pit.
Nearly 1 million Tutsis and moderate Hutus were killed in a little over 3 months. Hundreds of thousands of women were raped. Rwandans were traumatized and grieving.
After the genocide, it was a long story, crying, grief, and sorrow. After I survived, my family suffered, living an unhappy life. I did not pursue my studies due to the genocide. I decided to search for jobs to take care of my family.
For Emerence, It was unimaginably hard to move past what had happened. She had little money, but focused on taking care of what was left of her family. In deep grief, her mother tried to take her own life, so Emerence moved in to help her recover. Years passed, and Emerence got married and had kids, and her country began to turn a corner.
The Rwandan government introduced the traditional courts known as Gashasha, where the Hutu militia who killed our families and those who had survived started the reconciliation process.
Emerence enrolled in a program supported by Women for Women International. It brought women from different groups together to talk about their experiences as survivors in a safe space. They talked about compassion, and together they worked out that their actions, however small, could help to bring peace to their homes and maybe even to the wider community.
Women for Women trained us with other women. Sometimes I looked at one of them and I saw her as a murderer. But over time, I came to see that I was looking at another woman who had many different problems like me. My heart started to change every week the more I attended the sessions, the more my life changed. This helped me to realize that the Rwanda I knew during the genocide is different from the actual Rwanda of good people with compassion.
Attending those sessions helped shape Emerence's decision to take part in the Gachacha court process, which is a sort of open community court.
The government was encouraging unity and reconciliation through their I Am Rwandan campaign. Personally, I felt the importance of focusing on humanity instead of seeing a human being through the lens of ethnicity. Even though the genocide happened, we had to remember that it was planned by the high-level authorities of that period, and it involved young boys and girls who didn't know what they were doing.
After the genocide, around 2 million people fled to neighboring countries, including some Hutu who had been responsible for the killings. There has been conflict in the wider region ever since. But some of the perpetrators went to prison in Rwanda for their part in the violence. It was those people and their families who were seeking to reconcile with Emerence and others like her.
I went to meet prisoners in Rubavu district during the judicial process, and they asked for forgiveness. The authorities used to bring the perpetrators to face the survivors and confess what they did and how they did it. In my case, they told me how they killed my father and how they burnt our house. It was not a day session. This was done several times up to the level where your heart is free. And they ask you if you are ready to forgive. So my sister and I went there and stood in front of them and told them we accept the truth of how you were, how you killed our father. We know what you did was not right. It may be because you were influenced by others. And right here, you confess and ask for forgiveness. We forgive you. Once I forgave the people who killed my family, my heart felt relieved. I was always afraid that if I refused to forgive, their family outside will treat me as their enemy. But since I gave forgiveness, when I meet them, we talk and share. Although their people are still imprisoned, they also know that I have given forgiveness. My heart is freed.
Emerence feels like forgiveness helped her to realize the power that women have to change their lives and the lives of those around them.
I learned how women can work and earn money, how a woman can start a small business or become a successful entrepreneur. I founded a successful village savings and loan association like this. With support from the local authorities, I started a kindergarten school for vulnerable kids. I've taken care of my own two kids and put them through school. My eldest is 23 and now and about to start university, and I will do my best to support him.
After the genocide, the Rwandan government tried and succeeded in encouraging scores of women to go into politics. Emerence believes that just as important as encouraging women's leadership in politics is the appreciation of women's leadership in the home and in the community.
The woman is the one who has the power to walk and speak, and they listen to her. A woman is the one who plays a major role in bringing love to the people, outside and in her family, so that love is what results in something alive and great that can promote women and even bring peace to the country.
Extraordinary as Emerence's story sounds, it's one that has been replicated across the country, according to Berna Rusagara, the executive director of Women for Women Rwanda, our sister organization.
Her story is not uncommon among survivors. Survivors like Emerence have experienced unimaginable loss, physical and mental trauma, and the story is heartbreaking. It is also encouraging when you look at the strength, the resilience, the perseverance to move forward, and how survivors have demonstrated courage and forgiveness to find the strength to rebuild their lives. 30 years on, there are painful memories. There are scars emotionally and physically. But I genuinely also believe in what Rwanda has done about it. It has made a difference. And it has been a journey.
As well as Rwanda's Gacaca courts and the I Am Rwandan campaign, many of the efforts towards peace building in the country were at a grassroots community level. Women for Women International's own peace building efforts use a similar grassroots approach and center women in particular as active participants of the peace process.
Our programming has evolved and also strengthened. In the early years, 27 years ago, there was a lot of discussions and trainings on one identity and forgiveness and conflict resolution. And now we strengthen that by talking more on socialization, how women engage as active citizens in the community, how their participation matters, how negotiation power in groups is huge. We continue to foster the solidarity, the safe spaces, the mindset. And this really transforms their lives and their communities. The women experienced trauma, stigma, pain. And now you do see a change in mindset. Confidence. Women take a lot of leadership roles. They're advocating for others. I read that women's leadership is a display of soft power because this is exactly what women do. I think women of Rwanda can teach the world about resilience, about forgiveness, and most importantly, about the transformative power of community solidarity. It's very important supporting one another and creating those safe spaces. Women are capable and are resilient.
Despite how far Rwanda has come, Many of the women in Emerence's community today are marginalized by poverty and uncertain of their rights at a time when violence against women is prevalent, especially in the home. But Emerence feels like forgiveness is her superpower. It's enabled her to move on, to become self-sufficient and determined, and able to help others who are struggling, like the daughters of Rwandan rape survivors.
The knowledge I gained from Women for Women, I have shared with other women. I keep the momentum. Even though we are survivors of the genocide, we shouldn't forget vulnerable women born to perpetrators of the genocide. They also need help. We support them and motivate them to join us so that we can prosper together.
There is strength in knowing that she has moved on from a dark place and is in a position to support others to do the same.
What makes me stronger is the knowledge I get from training. I have a job. I provide for my family and I train other women. I will take these fellow women to another level, from that bad side of life where I was before, and strengthen her to be stronger too.
Right now, with so many countries in conflict across the world, it's hard to feel hopeful. But 30 years ago, during the Rwandan genocide or the war in Bosnia, it was hard to imagine a day when women survivors of those wars would be thriving, and in some cases, working closely with sisters on the other side of those conflicts. Today, in Women for Women International's program, survivors of those wars are building peace together. Emerence's story is a reminder of the powerful transformation that is possible when we invest in women's resilience. But it is also a reminder of the very real pain and loss of war and genocide, and an urgent call to us all to prioritize inclusive conflict prevention and urgent conflict resolution. With the right support, women can build, maintain, and rebuild peace. You've been listening to What Makes Us Stronger. You can find out more about the kind of stories you've heard today by following at Women for Women on Instagram or Twitter. And if you want to get involved or support a sister, join our Stand With Her program and go to womenforwomen.org. See you next time. This series was written and produced by Harriet Wells and Zoe Gallagher. Emerence's translation was recorded by Botul Osman. What Makes Us Stronger is a Fresh Air production. The artwork for this series was designed by Nuno Studios.